Have you ever felt forgotten? Which, that's a silly question. The answer for every one of us is yes. So let me rephrase that. When was the last time you felt forgotten? When was the last time you felt forgotten? That you were maybe felt abandoned. Maybe you felt like you didn't matter, like you were lost, like you were buried or erased. We've all experienced that feeling of nobody knows, nobody cares. And when that snowball starts rolling, it just gets a little bigger. And the truth of the matter is that many times we're really not forgotten, but we feel that way. We take the words or the unspoken, the verbal, nonverbal actions of others, and we interpret them, and we feel this. We feel like we're forgotten. Maybe you're in that season, and maybe it has come on you because of grief, the loss of someone or something. Maybe you feel forgotten because of sin in your life. Maybe the season of life that you're in, your relationships have soured or gone away, and there's just nobody that you're really able to connect with. And sometimes you even feel like maybe God has forgotten you as your prayers go seemingly unanswered. Maybe you feel forgotten by your family or the church. I guess my question is, what might the Bible have to say for those of us, which is all of us, when we're in that emotional state of that prison, so to speak, that we find ourselves, where we just feel all alone? The Bible actually does have a lot to say about that, and that's what I'd like to explore a bit this morning. And before I do, I would like to pray. Father, I ask for your blessing on the reading of your word and the preaching of your word, and I pray that this message that you have given me today, that you'd help me to clearly communicate it so that your people can hear it, receive it, and apply it to their lives. I know that there's 100 different stories of where we're at in this room, and so I pray that you would use your word to strengthen us and encourage us and remind us of your truth, that we'd set our emotions aside and be able to stand on your promises as we've just sung. So I ask your blessing on this message today, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are in Genesis still. We will be for several more weeks. And actually, I went back and I looked. This is sermon number 42 in the Genesis series. And so if you've missed a few, it'll only take you about 20 hours to catch up. If you'd like to go back and listen on the website, right, to the other 42 30-minute sermons, 41 30-minute sermons, put it that way. But we've seen how God has raised up a people and how he has protected his people, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and now the story is continuing on in the life of Joseph. Last week we looked at chapter 39. And we read about the invitations that were in that chapter, an invitation to destruction from Potiphar's wife and the invitation to deliverance from the Lord himself. And we read about how Joseph refused the one and embraced the other. Today we're going to be in Genesis chapter 40. We're going to cover the entire chapter. And it is a story about the cupbearer and the baker. Now, when I first read this, I was thinking, is this part of the nursery rhyme? Rub-a-dub-dub, three men in a tub. The butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker. That is not this story. That's a different one. However, there are three men in the prison, so to speak, in this one, but it's not the butcher, baker, and candlestick maker. It's three other ones. So what I'll tell you before we start reading this and when we get to the end of the chapter is Joseph starts off in prison in this chapter, and he's still in prison when we get to the end. And so keep that in mind as I read through this. So Genesis chapter 40 reads this way. Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. After they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials, who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why do you look so sad today?" "We both had dreams," they answered, "but there is no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to him, "In my dream I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I put the cup in his hand." "This is what it means," Joseph said to him. "The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon." When the chief baker saw that Joseph had given a favorable interpretation, he said to Joseph, "I too had a dream. On my head were 3 baskets of bread. In the top basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head." "This is what it means," Joseph said. "The 3 baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and impale your body on a pole, and the birds will eat away your flesh." Now the 3rd day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all his officials. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position, so that he once again put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he impaled the chief baker, just as Joseph had said to them in his interpretation. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. Amen. He forgot him. It's pretty likely that Joseph would have found out that the interpretations of his dreams came true, knowing that the cupbearer survived and was in the presence of Pharaoh, and yet he is forgotten. And as we'll read ahead in chapter 41, Joseph stays in the prison for 2 more years. The cupbearer forgets for 2 years. And a little spoiler alert, Joseph does eventually get out. But not in chapter 40. Throughout chapter 40, Joseph is languishing in this dungeon that he does not want to be in. I wonder if he knows what it feels like to be forgotten. What kind of emotional state Joseph must have been in during this time, especially because he's in there at no fault of his own. He's in there because he obeyed God. The question I have for us is this: how can I be faithful even when I feel forgotten? It's hard. When it feels like nobody understands me, nobody knows what I'm going through. God, where are you? Why have you forgotten me? How can I, as a believer, still be faithful even when I feel like I am forgotten? Well, I believe this passage that we've just read gives us some clues for things that we can do while we find ourselves in that prison. Certainly, these are not things to get out of prison, but they're things you can do to remain faithful while you're in the prison, just like Joseph. And the first one is this: to take notice of and to serve those who are with you, those who are around you. Look back at verses 6 and 7. It says, when Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him in his master's house, why do you look so sad today? Now, when you're struggling, it's hard to see anyone other than who? Yourself. I'm mostly aware of my own problems, my own struggles. And yet in this case, Joseph noticed they were dejected and sad. He took note of those who were with him, who were around him. He could have played the woe is me card, poor me. He could have sunk into the corner and complained to himself or anyone who would listen about his plight of being there in that Egyptian prison. But he didn't. He noticed and he served using his gift. What was his gift? Well, apparently he had the ability to interpret dreams. How did he realize he had that? I don't know. But that's the gift that he used. He could have been bitter about the whole dream thing and said, yeah, let me tell you about the dreams I've had. Look at where they've gotten me. Those dreams I had when I was back with my father. And here I am in this place. But that's not what he said. What did he do? He went ahead and he interpreted. He used his gift. He served those who were with him. He noticed them and he served. He showed he was faithful. When you look through the New Testament, there's plenty of verses that talk about one another. How the church is to love one another in this body of believers. It's really hard to obey the one another passages if you're by yourself. If you're closed off. If you're not aware of those who are around you and looking for opportunities, even though you are miserable yourself. How can I be faithful when I feel forgotten? Take notice of and serve those who are around you. This is part of the sanctification process that Jesus has for us. Because when you serve, you know who you look like. You look like the one who came to seek and save the lost, the one who came to serve, not to be served. His name is Jesus. When you serve, you look like Christ. And isn't that what the Christian life is all about? Is becoming conformed to the likeness of Christ, that the Holy Spirit is in the process of forming you so that you'll look like Jesus. You look like Jesus when you serve, especially when nobody else notices, especially when you feel forgotten, because Jesus walked in those same shoes. This is part of the preparation process that God has for you. If you look at Joseph's story and you know the whole thing, or if you read ahead, you'll realize that this prison time is preparation for leadership. God's preparing Joseph for a great task that is ahead. I don't think he would have been ready for that task had he not had to go through this first. What about you? What is God preparing you for? God doesn't waste pain. He uses it for his glory. And so if you're suffering in some way today, feeling forgotten, alone, that nobody understands, feel like you're in some sort of prison, God is with you. Look for an opportunity to serve those who are around you. It's a simple question in verse 7. Joseph said, why do you look so sad today? He didn't say, how you doing? He went ahead and went with the, why do you look so sad today? Second thing I would encourage us to do when we feel forgotten, a way that we can be faithful is to tell the truth, even when it's hard. You look there at verses 18 and 19. This is what it means, Joseph said. The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and impale your body on a pole, and the birds will eat away your flesh. That's some hard truth. I don't think that's what the baker was expecting to hear. I don't know that Joseph really wanted to share that interpretation with the baker, but he did. He told him the truth, even though it was hard. It was risky on Joseph's part. The baker could have retaliated in some way. What do you mean? You give the cupbearer this good message, and this is what you give to me? Joseph could have lied about it, but he didn't. He told the truth. He stood on the truth despite the difficult news. And when you feel forgotten, imprisoned by fear, the truth can be hard. Why is that? Because we rationalize to ourselves why we're in this place or what has happened. We rationalize it to ourselves and to others. We're willing to bend the facts a bit to make it sound better than it really is. And Joseph's story is an example to us of stand on the truth. Even when you feel like telling a lie will make things somewhat better. Maybe the truth is part of the healing process, spoken by others. Maybe you say it to yourself in the mirror. Certainly the Word of God speaks truth to you as we stand on His promises. And as you speak truth, maybe you're speaking truth to someone else who's feeling forgotten, remember Ephesians 4:15. Be gentle, speak the truth in love. I don't know if Joseph said this in love to the baker or not, but it was the plain truth, difficult as it was. You know, as I was thinking through this, I have to admit, I hate when my wife is right and I am wrong. When she speaks truth to me that I don't want to hear, but I know that it's for the best for me. I hate that when that happens. But maybe she holds the key to unlocking me from my prison that I have put myself in because I want to believe some lie. Maybe there's somebody in your life who is willing to speak truth to you that you keep at arm's length because you don't want to hear it. But maybe that's exactly what you need in this time. When you feel forgotten, face the truth. That's another way to be faithful during this season. Third thing I would ask you to consider, when you feel forgotten, you can be faithful by trusting in the Lord despite the circumstances. You look at verse 23 again. It says, the chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. Now, I can't be sure, and I am reading into this a bit, but I don't know what Joseph was thinking. But it seems as if he had put some level of trust into the cupbearer to remember him before Pharaoh. Otherwise, he wouldn't have made the plea. Remember me when you're in Pharaoh's presence and help get me out of this place. Joseph had some level of trust in the cupbearer. And it didn't pan out, at least at this point in the story. I wonder if Joseph did learn that he could not trust man, he could only trust the Lord. I would hope that he learned that. He must have learned that trusting the Lord is the only sure decision. Because I don't know what you're going to do. I can only trust you so far. I have to put my full weight of my trust on Jesus. He's the only one that is sure. Joseph must have been encouraged that the dreams that he interpreted did come true, even though it cost the baker his life and the cupbearer forgot him. It must have been an encouragement to him that the dreams that he had been given years ago, that maybe those will still come true because God is faithful. He didn't serve the gods of Egypt. He served the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. He served the God who delivered Abraham from Pharaoh. from the five kings, from Abimelech, and from a situation where his wife was barren. Joseph knew those stories about his great-grandfather. He knew the stories about his grandfather who had been delivered from Abimelech and from a situation, again, where the wife was barren. Joseph knew the stories of his father Jacob, who had been delivered from Laban and Esau and the Shechemites. And now Joseph was waiting his turn for the story to unfold where God would deliver him and save him from this dungeon. So when you feel forgotten, where do you turn? I hope that it's to the Lord, that you would trust in him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight, even when you feel forgotten. You know, it's interesting. It's been said that God does some of his best work in prison. And if you look over the New Testament writings, four of the epistles were written by Paul while he was incarcerated, while he was in chains. There's the fifth book there in the New Testament that was written by John, the book of Revelation, while he was in exile on Patmos. And then you might be familiar with the story of the Pilgrim's Progress, written in the 1600s by John Bunyan. He too wrote that amazing work. It's one of the greatest English writings of all time. He wrote that over a course of 12 years while he was incarcerated for preaching the gospel. Some great works come from those who are in prison, who feel forgotten. I'd like to encourage you from one of those that were written by Paul, the book of Philippians. There at the beginning of the book, chapter 1, Paul, while he's in chains, he says this to the church. He says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Who is the he in that verse? Who is going to carry it on to completion? Who's the he? It's God. God is going to carry on what he has started. And who is he going to carry it on in? Who's the you? It's you. It's the church. It's those who believe on Jesus. God is going to finish what he has started in his people. No matter what course life may take, he's going to finish what he started. And what is it that he's going to do? He's going to finish it. He's going to bring it to completion. And that is the reason why we can trust him, even when our circumstances say otherwise. You go to the end of the letter, and Paul says this, there in chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Paul writes, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Who is the one who's going to give strength? God is. Who's he going to give it to? You. The church, his people. Because I can do all this, the all this there is being content. I can do all this being content through him who gives me strength. Because Paul says, I've learned the secret. I've learned the secret to contentedness. It's found in Christ. You might not have the power to change your situation, but while you are at it, take notice of those who are around you and serve them, just like Joseph did. You may not have the power to change your situation, but while you are in it, be willing to tell the truth to others, to yourself. And you may not have the power to change your situation, but while you're in it, trust in the Lord. He's worthy. His track record is 100% faithful. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you give your people strength to withstand the lies of the enemy, the schemes of the enemy, and that your church would come together, rally together, that we would love one another, and especially look for those who might feel alone and dejected and look sad, that we come alongside them. Even though we ourselves might be in some form of suffering or pain or misery, I pray that you'd fill us with your Spirit, that we would love one another, and that we could look to Joseph's example, not complaining, but simply waiting on the God who moves mountains. So, Almighty God, we wait. We trust you. And we ask you to intervene in the specific situations that are in the body here at Alliance Community Church, your people. I pray that you would show yourself strong. I thank you that you're always good, that you're always fair, and that you're always working to make us more like Jesus. Pray these things in his awesome name. Amen. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. Amen.